Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast titled Enabling Safety Certification in ARM-Based Systems. My name is John McHale, Group Editorial Director with Military Embedded Systems and moderator for today's event. Our speakers today are Dr. Jose Ruiz, Senior Software Engineer at AdaCore, and Gary Gilliland, Technical Marketing Manager at DDCI. Now, before we get started, I have some short housekeeping announcements. The eCast will consume about 35 to 40 minutes, leaving the remaining time for the question and answer session. And before I get going, I want to point out three important buttons on your screen. First, please take note of the Enlarge Slides button. By clicking on this button, you'll be able to view the slides in full screen mode. The second important button is the Forward to a Friend button, which enables you to send an email of request for this event. The third button on your console window allows you to enter questions in real time. We'll do our best to address these questions during the closing Q&A session. If you have a question intended for a specific speaker, please note so at the beginning of your question. Otherwise, I will hand out the questions equally to our speakers. If you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, one of our technicians will respond back to you during the eCast. Please note that as much as we'd like to, we may not get to all of your questions today. In that case, someone may get back to you after the eCast with more information. This eCast will be archived online today and be available for 1 year. There will also be an MP3 version of the event available as well. Now, I'm pleased to turn over to our first speaker, Gary Gilliland. Gary?
Thank you, John. Today, like John said, we're going to talk about safety certification and ARM-based systems. Just as an introduction, my name is Gary Gilliland. I've been working in this industry with RTOSes and safety certifiable RTOSes for longer than I really care to admit. DDCI has been providing mission-critical, safety-critical software for over 30 years, and one of the unique things there is that we only work in the certifiable avionics software world. Our agenda today will be to review the aircraft sensor technology that's out there, the evolution of those sensors, and then how ARM could be a solution in that market. After we look at that, we'll look at DDoS as an operating system solution and how DDoS on ARM fits this environment and this market very well. So I think we should start as basically since the beginning of manned flight, it's been recognized that supplying the pilot with information about the aircraft and its operation is very useful and obviously leads to safer flight. And over the years, there's been a wide variety of sensors that have been developed to detect and display information critical to the understanding the state of the aircraft. This information is important to the pilot to understand any flight corrections that may be needed and any safety concerns, such as engine temperature, oil pressure, even cabin temperature, so that passengers and cargo are preserved. The evolution of those sensors is the totally integrated cockpit, where a wide variety of instruments have been put in place to provide information for aircraft engine components, for attitude, altitude, weather, cabin environment, navigation, communication. And, you know, the integration of these components has allowed them to be able to display on any of the LCD displays in a cockpit. In order to get this information, there are sensors scattered all across the airframe. This is an example representation of sensors in an aircraft. Most of these sensors started out as some sort of mechanical device that took advantage of some physical material property. And just like the cockpit has transitioned from individual instruments to integrated displays, the sensor technology on aircraft is transitioning from individual mechanical devices to intelligent devices that integrate data across the entire airframe. It's no longer good enough to just know what's going on now. A sensor or a sensor controller must also know what's happened in the past and even try to predict the future. These systems are all over the aircraft and can take advantage of this capability as long as the gating factors of size, weight, power, and cost can be accommodated. we're going to look at one of those specific categories of sensor, looking at engine monitoring. You know, in an engine, there are hundreds of sensors that record all kinds of parameters in real time, including, you know, the temperature throughout different locations in the engine, vibration, oil pressure, you know, metal in oil. The system provides real-time information to the pilots or autopilot systems about the operation of the engine, and with this information, those systems can make adjustments if the engine is not functioning, you know, as good as it can be. They can always accommodate those. But not only is this real-time data important to the pilot, it's also important to the airline and the engine manufacturer. It reveals the health of the engine, how it needs to be maintained, and when it needs to be rebuilt. This data is time-stamped, recorded for flight, and it can also be directly transmitted to the manufacturer, even in flight or during a maintenance cycle. This data improves lifecycle costs of the engine, as well as in combination with other sensor data, helps the manufacturers build better and more efficient engines. So with all of that combined information and that evolution of information, you know, the ARM processor is really an ideal solution for this market. The processor technology from ARM has become a game changer in multiple industries. It delivers high performance per watt processing, high levels of integration, and enables system-on-a-chip capability in low-power devices. This combination has been ideal for small form factor avionics, automotive, and medical applications. We are talking to many embedded designers who are looking at ways of taking advantage of this ARM technology to enable safety certification via the FAA DL-178C standards for avionics systems, and even, you know, in by MISRA standards for automotive systems. So in the rest of this presentation, we're going to look at how ARM-based solutions can not only reduce power and easily utilize the integrated peripherals and safety, for safety certified solutions, the ARM processor also has attributes to let it dominate other markets, and how it is the optimal solution for intelligent sensor platforms in an aircraft. The small size, weight, low power, high performance, and low cost, as well as the high integration of I/O devices, enables it to fit in just almost any system. And although size, weight, and power from a hardware standpoint are real important, from a software standpoint, the high performance and high level integration is a big advantage as well. This is a block diagram of a Freescale IMX integrated SoC. It is I put that up there just to show some of the capabilities. There's an unbelievable amount of I/O interfaces, including Ethernet, Bluetooth, CAN, graphics, audio, probably more than most avionics sensor systems would use, but it's just an example of things that are available out there for these systems. There's an importance to choosing the ARM Cortex-AX parts. Those are parts, you know, ARM classifies its parts by A, R, and M. The A parts are the ones that have MMUs. So they're the ones that support a mixed criticality, memory partition, virtual address model environment, which is very important for a complex avionics system. The R series and M series parts don't have an MMU, and therefore they have certain limitations when systems get that complex. So high device integration typically means that there'll be a lot of applications and a lot of I/O drivers that interact with the system. DL-178 certification of these systems poses a challenge to the system integrator to determine what interfaces need to be high design assurance, which I'll refer to as DAL, and how to separate these from low design assurance I/O drivers. Aircraft sensor systems are moving, because of all this integration, from the microprocessor, moving to microprocessors from the microcontroller environment to handle some of this complexity. And, you know, it's important to note that even though you're designing a DALL-A system, it doesn't necessarily mean that every application and every I/O interface has to be designed to DALL-A requirements. You don't want to do this unless you have to, because it increases your cost and risk for certification of your system. With some operating systems that have monolithic kernels, there's no way to separate the drivers from the kernel, which causes most of the device drivers to have to be designed to DALL-A. This would be because, you know, primarily if you have a failure in the device driver code, then you're going to bring down the entire system. So the best way to avoid this is to select a fully modular operating system, utilizes MMU to provide time, space, resource partitioning, and guarantee that no application can violate these partition boundaries. So a selection of this operating system can minimize certification impacts. So obviously, if we look at an operating system that takes advantage of a hardware MMU, it requires a processor that has an MMU. We saw earlier that only certain ARM processors incorporate that. So when you select one of those, then that MMU can help the operating system provide the space partitioning that will separate applications and drivers in a system such that they cannot adversely affect each other. This architecture also enables reuse, and it also enables multiple safety certifications levels, or DALLs, to run in the same system. So you have DALL-A and DALL-E running in the same environment. The modularity also helps minimize change impact when moving from system to system, because these are encapsulated in these separate memory spaces. In order to move to a COTS operating system, we often have to talk to developers who have been in a microcontroller environment using an in-house executive managing all their applications where they have total control, and help them understand that you can give up some of that control to a COTS operating environment as long as they have a good certification pedigree and they have the MMU capability and modular architecture and they have the functionality that they need. So we propose basically that DIOS is a very good solution on ARM, something we've developed, have several customers using. DIOS in general has been certified to DALL-A since 1998, so it has a very long history, takes full use of the MMU for time and space partitioning, resource partitioning required for this highly integrated DALL-A avionic systems. The fully modular design of DIOS provides user mode drivers that are separated from the kernel, applications, and from the other drivers. These drivers are modular applications and libraries that can easily be moved from system to system. And since the drivers are separate applications, they can each be designed to the DALL level that is required for that interface. No need to over-design, which saves time and money. But reuse is not limited just to drivers. It's also true for the kernel and all DIOS components, as well as many user applications. And DIOS also runs in a small footprint and enables the user to manage how the memory is allocated to the applications through what we call memory pools and cache partitioning. From a pedigree standpoint, the development of DIOS has been a single line of ongoing development since the mid-90s. And although the development started at Honeywell and transitioned to DDCI in approximately 2008, and it has continued in that same line of development ever since, even the same core engineering team from Honeywell is now at DDCI. And I point that out basically that, you know, the engineers we have developing the product, know the DO-178B processes, and that's all they do. They design and develop code to those standards. And so the code, it's never, it's designed from the beginning for the certification. It's not adapted to that certification from some other baselines. But, the main point is that we've been doing this for a very long time, and we have a very good certification record and are well-known and well-respected in the industry. So here's a high-level overview of the architecture of DIOS. It's a fully modular microkernel architecture. The DIOS kernel is a module. It's dynamically linked with the other components to provide the functionality of the system. If you look in the kernel space band there, that's the only software that's required to run in kernel space. The hardware abstraction layer, which provides CPU family interface. The platform abstraction layer, which provides interfaces to the platform hardware, like timers, memory, interrupt controller. And the registry, which is a personality of the system. It's an input file that defines the resource allocation for all the components in the system. With DIOS, you can see also that, you know, most of the device drivers execute in user mode rather than in kernel mode, as in the case with many other RTOSes. Consequently, the design assurance level of the device driver software only has to be as high as the partition or process that it's a part of. Since we talked about I/O interfaces and the mass amount of I/O interfaces on an ARM processor, I'm going to spend a few slides here talking about the device driver model and how it works. And basically, this is an example of what a device driver looks like and how you'd have a hardware interface library that interfaces to the hardware, provides the open, close, read, write, IOCTL type interfaces that you would expect. The device drivers dynamically linked to the hardware and would transmit through some IPC mechanism, you know, to the client processes the data from that I/O device that the application needs. Just to get a little more detailed example, if you look at something specific, one way we separate the DAL levels in device drivers is you can have the driver library actually be a lower DAL level and the DAL and the driver process, but then they can use a high DAL IPC mechanism to guarantee transfer of data from there to the applications. Those applications can then be at different design assurance levels as well. So if you have a situation like that, and then you could also put CRCs at each end of the data transfer so that you can make sure and guarantee that the data you get is correct. So it's just one idea, one option of how to do a device driver that takes care of that on multiple I/O levels. And just, you know, like I talked about everything being in user space, obviously there are some instances where you may need DMA, for instance. So this is just an example of how we provide an interface, what we call a platform abstraction library, that you can certify. You can have a DAL-A certification on that provides access to DMA so they can provide information up to client applications. And so you can, you know, have the supervisor mode access that's necessary in some driver environments. So we talked a lot about I/O control and how partitioning I/O and allowing it to be separated eases certification. We also have the ability in DIOS to do what we call cache partitioning and memory pools, but it gives you a way to control how applications are mapped into memory and into cache. DDCI has a patented technology for creating individual memory pools for each application and use those to map in separate areas of the cache. This provides multiple benefits. You know, it allows you to allocate on-chip SRAM that you might find in an IMX ARM platform to very high criticality or extreme timing requirement applications. And then secondly, it allows the user to partition the cache memory to reduce interference patterns that applications might run into when sharing cache across multiple applications. This technology also improves worst-case execution time and as well as increases the CPU utilization in many platforms. So this is just a kind of a picture of what I just talked about here, where you can see you'd have a time-critical app 1 and app 2 allocated to the internal SRAM, where you could have the other applications and the network stack, for instance, allocated to external SRAM. And you can see in the picture there, you have the cache that's actually, the shared L2 cache is actually partitioned among those. So it's just one methodology, one way you can do it, but it's kind of part of the DIOS toolkit for managing this I/O, keeping everything separate, and providing you the best possible certifiable solution. All right. So as a summary, is basically Aircast systems are getting smarter. We're getting a lot of requests for ARM processors in this environment, mainly because of size, cost, power, and the high performance and high integration. DIOS is situated very good for that, taking advantage of that environment. We have that capability. We have a very long pedigree, reuse, features, and performance that these avionics platforms need. All right. So I guess I'll turn this back over to John to introduce our colleagues.
Thank you, Gary. Very excellent presentation. And I'd like to encourage everyone to keep sending your questions in. After the next presenter is done, we will start the Q&A session. And speaking of our next presenter, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Jose Ruiz of AdaCore. Jose?
Thank you. So my name is Jose Ruiz. I work for AdaCore. And the goal of my presentation today is to give you a rather quick overview of the things that our company, our tools, or the language that we support can help you when developing safety critical applications on your ARM boards. So basically, we will talk a little bit about Ada and how Ada could help you in implementing safety. Then the language is not the only thing that will help you. So we have developed through these years many different tools helping in the safety processes for different industries. So I'll give you a very quick overview of that. I'll focus a little bit in formal analysis that we are working on quite a lot during these recent years. And obviously, I will tell you how all these things apply to your ARM development. So first, as you notice in the name of my company, AdaCore, Ada is at the core of our business, but we have expanded that quite a lot. So Ada, from the beginning, was designed to target embedded safety-critical real-time systems. That was a conscious decision from the first day. So that, for example, you will find in the definition of the Ada language, there are some specific annexes targeting real-time needs, high-integrity needs. And as part of the language, one of the capabilities that you have is to be able to subset very clearly the language in the same way as MISRA C does with C. In Ada, you have a very flexible capability to reduce your language so that you can certify or do safety analysis of your application. Things in Ada that help you increase safety or quality in general is that it's a quite readable language. Some people think about Ada as very verbose, but we think that the idea is to be explicit in what you say. It helps that the compiler and other tools can help you detecting things that you don't want to happen, and it comes with very clearly defined semantics so that you know what the program will do after writing it. And there are also some guidelines helping you develop in safety critical applications. So, as I said, in Ada, one of the things that was very important from the beginning is to be very specific. The idea is to, if you want to do something, be very clear about what you want. And for example, in Ada 2012, which is the latest release of the language, we have introduced things helping clarifying what you want in your application. And it takes the shape of contracts. Contracts is not something new. It's been in the industry for quite a long time. But Ada has introduced the notion of Ada pre- and post-conditions to define what your program must do on some other advanced features. For example, you can define types with a much more flexible, in a much more flexible way. All this is done to help the review of your code and the tools to detect it. So basically, the idea is trying to be even more precise in the way you define your application. So the idea is to put in the code something that is similar to the specification. So the specification and the contract that you have in your requirements, you can put it in the form of pre- and post-conditions that can be read by people and can be analyzed by tools. At the same time, you can use these contracts to test dynamically your application. These contracts are something that can be verified either statically before running the application or dynamically while running your application, so that if there is any violation of the contract, you know when it happens and the situation in which that happens. And one of the good things about these contracts, about expanding the definition of what programs do, is that tools can take advantage of that. For example, we have a static analysis tool that is able to acknowledge your contracts and put them as part of their analysis, doing a much more precise analysis than if you don't provide that application. And it helps you going even further if you want to prove formally that the implementation that you did is compliant against your requirements. You can go that step further because you are able to formalize the requirements in your code. So, as I said, the language, providing things in the language is something good. It helps reviewing, but one of the things that helps a lot in your development process is for safety, is to have tools helping you in the verification and not doing everything by hand. For example, one of the things that our tools can do is to check your coding standard. Every safety critical standard that I know forces you to define a coding standard and to verify that. So we have a tool called GetAcheck that is able to verify that you follow the rules defined by your coding standard. The same way we have tools to get code metrics, such from very simple line counts or percentage of comments in your code to Maccabi complexity. We can also analyze statically the amount of stack that may be used by the application. And we have tools for static and formal proof analysis that we'll have a look at them in one or two slides. These are the things that you can do statically without running your application, but you can also have the needs to do things dynamically, such as, for example, unit testing. Unit testing, again, is something required by safety standard, DO178, ECSS in the space, etc. And we have tools helping you creating test harnesses for unit testing. And, of course, and again, required by all safety critical standards. We can provide you with tools to get cold coverage information from application. This is something, for example, we are all these tools work for Ada, of course, but many of the tools can also work on different languages. For example, the code coverage analysis, we can do it for Ada and C. And of course, you have debugging tools. Talking a little bit about formal analysis and what it does and how it can help you, we have two different kind of tools following two different kind of philosophies. On the left side of your slide, you will see CodePeer, which is a tool that you can apply on any Ada project. It doesn't impose any restriction on the subset of Ada that you are using. And this is a tool that will help you finding problems in your code. The tool will trigger places in your code that look suspicious, where you may have done something wrong. It will tell you whether you have some branches in your code that will never be executed. So it means there is something wrong in your code. So it's a very useful tool for developers, so that it does some automatic peer review analysis and points you to places that need some to be looked at. On the right side of the slide, you have Spark Pro, which is a formal verification tool. This is limited to a subset, a very restricted subset of the language. But if you follow this coding standard, you can apply, you can use your contracts and everything, and the tool will be able to guarantee mathematically that what you say in your specification, in your requirements, is what is being implemented by your code. And then you can provide very strong guarantees about, for example, I know that there will not be any division by zero, for example, or I know that I am respecting the data flow that I defined when I specified my system. So this is the kind of verifications that you can do with that tool. And just to put all that into a bit safety certification perspective, this slide shows you how these tools can help you when you are following the DO-178 certification process. For example, with CodePeer, it will help you doing a part of the accuracy and consistency requirement demanded by the standard, because it can tell you whether there will be a potential division by zero in your code, where there will be variables that are being used before being initialized. All this kind of information will be displayed by this tool. And on the right side, you can do formal proofs, which does some more guarantees in terms of accuracy and consistency. You can ensure that there will not be any runtime exception being raised. You can do also some very advanced data coupling analysis, and this has been done while working with the DO-178C committee, so that you can, if you follow the new formal method supplement, you may replace some unit testing by formal proofs. So if there are some pieces of code that you are able to provide formal proofs for them, you can skip the unit testing for these units. So now I'm coming closer to your ARM processor. This is a very high level overview of the supports of the platforms that we support. We have on the one side quite a lot of native platforms that we are not very interested into this presentation because they are not ARM related, but we have quite a lot of tools related to cross and safety critical developments. With cross, I mean general purpose embedded systems. And then on that side, we can find embedded Linux. We can find regular VxWorks or LanxOS. And on the bottom of the slide, this is the kind of cross development which is specifically targeting the safety critical developments. And then here you will find specific VxWorks versions of such as 653 or CERT, which are specifically developed for safety critical certification. We have Verbor targets and PikeOS. So this is the picture before we have all the ARM toolset coming in. And then here you will see that on the cross and safety critical parts, we have introduced some ARM related toolsets. For example, for cross, for general cross, we have embedded Linux, we have Android, and we have VxWorks 6 for ARM. And we have also on the bottom side, we have a bareboard ARM development toolset, meaning that you can develop your aid application on top of an ARM board without any other operating system. So this is a quick overview of what we have said. So we have four platforms that have been released targeting ARM. On the targeting Cortex-R and Cortex-M, we have the bareboard development. I mean, these are let's say simple boards in terms of not having MMU, for example, and on them we can still still use them for safety critical development with our runtimes that provide sometimes tasking functionalities. And on top of the more advanced Cortex-A ARMs, we support three different operating systems, which are Android, Linux, and VxWorks. VxWorks, we have 6, VxWorks 6, and we are working on making very good progress on VxWorks 7. We will go very quickly over this slide, but the idea is that if you sometimes one of the easiest way to go into certification is to be able that what you are certifying is only your application and there are no other libraries being introduced by the language or by any other system into your application. So that we have an ADA profile which is called the Zero Footprint profile, which basically doesn't introduce any library into your application, and then it can be used either on bareboard on a bareboard configuration where you are doing everything. Basically, you do your startup routine and you code your ADA application, and that's it. Or you can even target any other operating system. But even on a system without any operating system, we are able to let application developers use Tasking, and there is an Ada runtime which is very simple and very efficient and certifiable that can be used for implementing a safety critical profile Ada Tasking that is part of the Ada standard. This is called the Ravenscar profile, and it's basically a very static profile where you define tasks, where you communicate them with shared memory, and you have a very simple, reliable, and deterministic a scheduler underneath. It may require some adaptation, some BSP development for different boards, but it's very simple because we don't use that much peripherals on the hardware. This slide is just to let you know that the way we work is to basically for a target we provide the zero footprint runtime, which is quite simple, but still let you develop quite advanced functionality from object-oriented programming to package hierarchies and so on. Then we can add some Ravenscar capabilities on top of that, and still being in a profile, in a runtime profile that is certifiable. And in some occasions when you need some more advanced capabilities, we provide an extended Ravenscar runtime which many more functionalities such as exception propagations and some other things. What about if you have a multiprocessor ARM board? What can we do for you? So the answer to that question is that, well, in Ada and more specifically in Ada 2012, we have added very precise support for saying where you want to execute the different parts of your application, so that it's very easy to tell to the operating system where you want to place your tasks. And there is a profile which has been designed to be able to use these multiprocessors on top of a multiprocessor board and being able to do a safety analysis of that. And that can be supported either on top of an operating system, and then we will use the operating system interface to allocate tasks, or on top of a bare board without the operating system. And to finish, I just wanted to give you an idea about our involvement into the different certification industries. So, for example, in terms of runtimes, we have certified some runtimes for PowerPC and Leon processors for the space. So we have done this certification. We have certified for the Avionics DO178 standard. We have certified a reduced runtime on top of VxWorks 653. And we have done very extensive work on qualifying tools, either for the DO178 standard or for the Railways and NLEC standard. We have qualified the compiler, the coding standard verifier, the tool for getting code metrics, etc. So we have a quite extensive understanding of certification processes in different industries, and we have been, for example, involved into the definition of the DO178C release. So just okay, I see now the slide. So as a conclusion I wanted to say that we at Ada Core we are seeing an increasing demand for safety development in many different industries. That ADA has been helping them all these certification related industries from the beginning, and we keep doing that. And that we have seen that with the new tool sets that we have published for ARM, we have seen that people is paying a lot of attention to them, from customers to universities to people working at home. There is a lot of excitement in the field of developing safety critical applications on top of ARMs. So that's basically what I wanted to say. So back to you, Jan.
Thank you very much, Jose. Now we will turn it over to the Q&A session. And our first question from the audience will be for Jose. How difficult is it to introduce formal methods in a development process?
Okay. So the thing with the, well, yeah, as you can believe, it's formal methods is not something that can be easily started from the beginning. But the good thing is that, and that's one of the processes supported by the new DO178C standard. The good thing is that you can start from proving formally parts of your application. You don't need to prove everything. You start proving things that are not very demanding in terms of effort in your application, and you can keep doing the traditional unit testing verification for the parts that you are not there yet in terms of formal proofs. So that's a very flexible possibility that is being offered by safety critical standards.
Thank you. Next question is for Gary Gilliland. Gary, what types of scheduling models does DO support?
So I didn't get into that much in the presentation, but DO supports multiple different scheduling models. The traditional model that's in the industry, the ARINC 653 environment, as well as a rate monotonic analysis model, and then combinations of those. We have a Slack scheduling model where we can actually take back budgeted but unused time and use those for other processes. So there's a wide variety of scheduling models that can be used depending on the platform and how it
needs to be architected. Sorry if that wasn't loud enough. Thanks, Gary. Next question is for you as well. What typical footprint does DOS have on a Cortex-A9?
So on the ARM platforms, and as well as some PowerPC platforms that we've used, the kernel is actually a small monolithic kernel, or a microkernel, misusing terms there. So it's on the order of approximately 150K. The platform depends on what kind of drivers, I/O devices, and that kind of thing that you add to that. If you were to do a full-up networking environment, you could probably get all that done in a meg for sure, but probably in 500K is what we're feeling like would be a good size on that with some of those SoCs.
Okay, thank you. The next one wasn't assigned, but whoever wants to take it. Have you certified code for any Cortex M4 processors, in particular from Atmel? Anyone want to stab that one out? Take a stab at that.
Yeah. So I'm Jose Riz. I can answer from ADA Core. So we have not certified our runtimes for ARM yet. We have certified our runtimes for PowerPC and Leon processors. But the good thing is that we share a lot of code among the different processors. We are able to isolate targeted dependencies so that a huge part of the code is shared among these different processors. So it wouldn't be that difficult to do.
Okay.
From a DOS perspective, the M series Cortex parts don't have an MMU, and so we primarily focus on processors with MMU to provide the memory protection. So we wouldn't approach that M series part.
Thanks, Gary. Next question is going to be for Jose. The tool to find defects in the code, CodePeer, does it produce many false warnings, false positives?
Okay, so that is one of the potential problems with this kind of tools. So the first thing to say is that this tool has been defined from the beginning to avoid the other case, which is false negatives. So it means that when the tool says, okay, there is no problem, there is no runtime exception in your code, then you can trust the tool. So it means at the same time that we cannot use, heuristics to remove potential warnings, but the tool has been developed following a bottom-up approach that basically propagates upwards pre and post conditions in sub-programs, so that limits a lot the number of potential false warnings that you may produce. So we are able to limit them quite a lot.
Thank you. Next question for Gary. Have the DOS artifacts been verified to DO178C?
Yeah, that's a good question. DOS has been verified and certified in many systems to DO178B. Over the past year, we've modified all of our processes to meet the DO178C standard and are currently going through certification. You know, we're subject to our customers because the customers actually do certification. We assist them, you know, with the OS artifacts as they go through that. But we expect to be through that, you know, by the end of the year for sure and have, you know, full DO178C artifacts for all the OS components.
Okay. Thank you. And Gary, next question is for you as well. Is DOS certified as an RSC, a reusable software component?
That's an interesting question as well. The RSC reusable component standard has many interpretations. The way we develop the kernel, it meets those standards. We've used, as part of our arguments with the FAA through various different certifications, we've been able to show them that the components of DOS and the kernel, the libraries, and everything are reusable from platform to platform. They're actually not, you know, like on a PowerPC platform, they're not specific to any one family that's our type of PowerPC or Intel. So the code is basically reused, and in many cases, if it's in the same hardware architecture, there's not even a need for a recompile to go from part to part. So it meets the essence of the RSC. But as far as getting a RSC, you know, there's a letter associated with that. That's not it, but it's part of all of our arguments that the FAA has accepted, and we can provide those to any customers that wants to look at how reusable DOS is.
Thanks, Gary. Next question is for Jose. Does Ada Core support full Ada 2012 tasking specified in Ada 2012 RM?
Okay. So the answer to that is yes. We support full Ada 2012 tasking. On that, when we support full Ada tasking, it means that we are on top of an operating system. We mentioned previously VxWorks, for example. So on this kind of systems, we support full Ada 2012 tasking, although for for safety critical developments, we recommend to restrict ADA tasking to a subset so that it can be much easier to verify. But the answer is yes, we support it.
Okay. Next question is not assigned, but it's asking about ISO 26262. Anyone want to stab that one? Take a stab at that one.
So I can say from ADA core that we have not yet been involved in 26262 certifications. We are starting to enter into the automotive market where it's been used, but so we have started studying the standard and all that, but we have not yet done any kind of 26262 certification.
Gary, anything to add there?
From the DEOS perspective, I think we're in the same boat. The 26262 is ratified, I guess, year before last sometime. There's been an analysis that it is very, very similar to the 0178C. It doesn't require quite as much rigor, but it's considered very close, and I think most operating system companies that have the 0178 type certifications figure they can do this. But as far as embarking on that kind of effort, we have not done that or checked into how our artifacts might have to change to support that standard.
Thanks, Gary and Jose. Next question, I'm fairly certain, is for Jose. Could I generate ADA code from NEC code?
I guess that there are some translators being able to do that. We, for example, we are able to generate the ADA bindings from C code, so that we can use C code from ADA code and vice versa. But I don't really know off of my head about a tool doing that kind of translation. I know that we can help in interfacing ADA and C in both sides, but translating code, that's not something I know about.
Okay, thanks, Jose. A couple more questions here, but I have a question for Gary. In your earlier slide, you kind of illustrate a commercial jet and the parts where an ARM processor and where your DEOS would fit in. Have you seen much request for ARM usage among your military customers in avionics? Have you hearing anything there?
It's not as much. They're mostly coming from the, coming from the commercial airlines companies. I think there are a few in, like engine control seems to be one of the hot ones, and we may have had a military customer that was associated with that. It's where they really need highly integrated information and networking and that kind of stuff. So I don't have any examples off the top of my head that I can remember from a
okay.
military customer.
All right, thanks. Next question for Jose. The certified runtimes are for other targets. How difficult would it be to certify the environment for ARM?
Okay, so in terms of environment, we can start talking about the tools. Most of the tools work at the source code level, so most of the tools can be used for ARM development without any change. With respect to the certified runtimes, then it would require some adaptation into the certification material. But as I said, we isolate quite a lot the target dependencies into our library, so the adaptation of the certification material and work would be quite light.
Okay. Thank you. Our last question is for Gary. What types of systems has DEOS been certified as part of?
And I actually wanted to add something to that last question you asked me about Army and military, because I do
remember, go ahead.
I do remember a customer or two that has asked some of their sensor systems they're being required to do AFDX in in some military systems, and the problem with a lot of the like I said in the presentation, the sensors, a lot of those are microcontrollers and executives, and so when they try to add something like a network stack, it's just too hard to implement. So they want to go to a COTS operating environment in order to do that, and that's part of this whole sensors being networked together and how that gets going. So there have been some there that were.
Oh, thank you. That's an interesting point.
Yeah. As far as avionics functions, DIOS is has been used in many displays, electronic flight bags, flight controls, air data computers, cockpit video, weather radar, TCAS. So it's basically from, you know, small, you know, less complex to very complex, you know, flight control type instruments. So it's got a pretty wide applicability.
Okay. Thank you. That brings us right up to our time limit for today. I'd like to thank Dr. Jose Ruiz and Gary Gilliland for speaking today, and DDCI and AdaCorp for sponsoring the event. The CCAS will be archived today and will be available for 1 year. There will also be an MP3 version of the event available. Thank you all for attending, and I look forward to seeing you on future Open Systems Media eCAS. Goodbye.